NASA celebrates the golden anniversary of human spaceflight. Airbus says the new A320neo will be ready early. And Boeing gets another order from Qatar. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 12th, 2011. It was 50 years ago today that Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first human in space. NASA astronaut Katie Coleman has celebrated aboard the International Space Station by performing a flute duet with one of her musical heroes, Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. Of the occasion, Anderson commented, quote, "We should remember that today's cosmonauts, scientists, and astronauts are still every bit the rocket heroes they were 50 years ago," unquote. The two separately recorded their parts to the Bach classic Bourée, recorded by Tull in 1969, the year the U.S. space program reached the moon. When combined, they make a novel duet. There's a YouTube video. But if you remember Ian with lots of hair, brace yourself. The last 40 years have treated him, well, about the same way they've treated you and me. There's more welcome news this week about deals getting done in a slowly recovering aerospace economy. Airbus now predicts it can get its re-engined A320neo flying as early as 6 months ahead of schedule. Airbus says the principal factor is the emergence of Pratt & Whitney's PW1100G turbofan as the lead development engine for the A320neo family, which will pave the way for the industrial development phase to begin in earnest. Also, with total commitments now past 300, Airbus has responded to what it calls spectacular market reception by bringing forward the entry into service date from 2016 to October of 2015. The A320neo incorporates new, more efficient engines and large sharklet wingtip devices, which the company says together with the new engines will deliver up to 15% in fuel savings. Airbus has also announced that its A330-300 has surpassed the 500 order mark, with Cathay Pacific Airways' firm order last month for 15 more of the planes. In the past 3 years, the plane has attracted 27 new customers. Cathay Pacific is Airbus's largest A330 family customer and operator to date, with 46 in use and another 21 yet to be delivered. Qatar Airways says it has ordered 3 777 freighters and 2 777-300ERs from Boeing, with a total value of $1.4 billion at list prices. The announcement was made during the Business and Investment in Qatar Forum in New York. The forum, of which Boeing is one of the sponsors, is held under the patronage of H.E. Sheikh Hamad and seeks to promote Qatar's emerging role as a political, economic, and cultural hub in the Middle East. Akbar Al-Bakr, Qatar Airways CEO, says the 777, quote, "has become the flagship of our fleet. As the state of Qatar and other parts of the region are growing at a phenomenal pace, we are well positioned to take advantage of this growth," unquote. Up next on ANN, ATR sells 20 more turboprops into Russia. Columbia Helicopters expands its Chinook service capability. And Sikorsky lets a contract to build the S-97 Raider prototypes. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 12th. I'm Paul Plack. The Russian carrier UT Air and regional turboprop manufacturer ATR have announced the signature of a contract for the purchase of 20 ATR-72-500s. That deal is valued at a total of $426 million U.S. UT Air says it's responding to the increasing market demand for regional connectivity in Russia and also in the Ukraine. The airline will add seat capacity on existing routes and allow development of new routes in both countries. UT Air currently operates a fleet of 12 ATR-42-300s and 3 ATR-72-200s in Russia. plus a pair of ATR-42-300s operated by its subsidiary, UT Air Ukraine. With the delivery of the 20 newly ordered planes, UT Air will become the largest operator of ATR aircraft in Europe, with 37 in the fleet. Columbia Helicopters, which for 26 years has operated the Boeing Model 234, that's the civilian version of the CH-47 Chinook, has broken ground for the expansion of its T-55 engine maintenance capabilities to include a T-55-714 engine test cell. The test cell is located at the company's maintenance headquarters at Aurora, Oregon. This expansion will add engine overhaul to the long list of CHI's Chinook capabilities. This testing facility will allow quick turnaround service for troubleshooting and testing of these engines. Scott Ellis, CHI's Director of Business Development and a 20-year Chinook service veteran, says Columbia can now provide complete nose-to-tail Chinook maintenance. Quote, "As a civilian operator, we can provide our customers with years of experience on the Chinook. Now that experience and maintenance capability includes the newest engine model installed in the aircraft." Unquote. Aurora Flight Sciences reports it has landed a contract to build prototype airframes for the Sikorsky S-97 Raider. Aurora's design and manufacturing role will take place over the next several years. Applying Sikorsky structural design methodologies, Aurora engineers will design the airframe to meet challenging weight, strength, and stiffness criteria. The airframe will be manufactured and assembled at Aurora's facility in Columbus, Mississippi. Aurora President John Langford says, quote, "We are pleased to join Sikorsky's team. Our demonstrated success in rapid prototyping and our experience in transitioning prototype programs into production were key factors in Sikorsky's decision," unquote. The S-97 Raider is based on Sikorsky's X-2 technology demonstrator, which features twin coaxial counter-rotating main rotors and a pusher propeller. The National Aeronautic Association recently selected the X-2 demonstrator team as the recipient of the 2010 Collier Trophy. Still ahead, the news from AEA is now easier to watch. The Navy comes to the rescue of an injured civilian, and the FAA wants to gag the messenger. You're listening to Aeronews.
Freedom through performance. At Sirius, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Sirius Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 12th. I'm Paul Plack. If you missed Aero TV's live streaming video of the new product introductions at the Aircraft Electronics Association's 2011 show in Reno last month, you can now watch the individual product debuts as separate segments. Find the link in the text version of this story, dated April 11th, at aero-news.net. A group of Navy pilots and air crewmen who were training at PMRF, the Pacific Missile Range facility at Barking Sands in Hawaii, responded to a call for help and rescued two women on Kauai's Kalala Beach in Nepali Coast Park last Thursday. A tour helicopter reported seeing an SOS written in the sand on the beach. Naval aviators and other sailors from several commands were conducting advanced training operations when they were notified and sent to investigate. One of the victims was reported being very ill and having a serious injury. After rescue from the beach, the victim and her companion were transported to PMRF for emergency treatment and then transported to Kauai Veterans Memorial Hospital. Sailors from Helicopter Maritime Strike Weapons School Pacific of NAS North Island, California, and Helicopter Anti-Submarine Squadron Light 51 from Naval Air Facility Atsugi, Japan, responded with the assistance of Helicopter Anti-Submarine Squadron Light 37 of Marine Corps Base Hawaii. And finally today, the Federal Aviation Administration has had a couple of tough years on the public relations front. For all Randy Babbitt's talk about safety and reversing the decline in the number of pilots, The agency's actions instead have been all about reducing access to flight training at aviation's entry levels, escalating administrative costs for pilots, especially students and instructors, and an illogical crusade against the through-the-fence agreements that keep many small airports viable or even alive. One of the April 1st parodies on the Aero News website this year was a story titled, "Babbitt Mulls Fees for Low-Time Pilots." It was clearly identified as a joke, suggesting that the administrator was considering a plan which would charge pilots who don't fly often more to renew their certificates. Apparently, this joke fit the pattern of recent FAA behavior closely enough that some people thought it was real and complained to the agency. This kind of thing's happened before on our stories on April 1st. One past story about the FAA increasing the max takeoff weight for LSAs quoted an agency spokesman as saying, "because old pilots are usually fat, too." It generated calls to Oklahoma City, but was appreciated for the clearly announced parody it was. One of our parody stories about the TSA was once picked up and reused by the TSA's own news website as a legitimate story. But again, once the error was caught, everyone chuckled and life quickly returned to normal. But this time, regarding the fees for low-time pilots, ANN's Jim Campbell reports contact from someone identifying herself as Sasha Johnson, the FAA Assistant Administrator for Communications, claiming that Randy Babbitt had directed her to fix this confusion, demanding a response and warning Aero News, quote, "you better stop writing about the FAA," unquote. There is, of course, a federally protected right to parody, and for all its other possible interpretations, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution protects criticism of the government. If this call was legit and not some kind of prank itself, it's more than a little sad. Is the FAA a little cranky about going years without a budget from Congress? Or is there recognition at the top that the FAA is a growing factor in the decline of the pilot population and committed to defending its destructive policies? Only time will tell, but if there was an office pool, I know which square I'd be on. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, hear Jim Campbell's conversation about Aspen Avionics' big announcements at AEA with Marketing VP Brad Hayden. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.